Hey everyone, Michael here again. We're diving into Proverbs chapter 6 on this video. And boy, I'll tell you, I've really enjoyed just articulating, sharing some of the truth of God's word through this process. I hope it's been blessing you. Again, as you've heard me say before, I want to challenge you, if you're listening to this solo podcast, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, I really want to challenge you to get organized because you need people in your life that are on the same path and mission that you are. I know sometimes in life we can find ourselves running so fast and so quickly that you know we oftentimes don't end up getting great people in our lives. We might have people in our lives, but maybe not the kind of people that we actually need in our lives to get to go where we need to go until you know we hit the brick wall, proverbial brick wall kind of thing. So get people around you. You know, maybe say, hey guys, would you guys do me a huge favor? I'm going to set up a Zoom. Maybe your friends aren't local. I don't know. Set up a Zoom meeting and pull this video up on your computer and play it and you all watch it and then talk about it, you know, or meet in your home. Use it as an opportunity to bring your neighbors in or a small group at church or guys group, women's group, whatever it is. Get intentional about getting into the word, not only yourself, but with other people so they can help you on the journey. Little H2O. And let's go. All right, so we want to talk about Proverbs chapter 6 here. So grab your Bible again. Again, I'm reading from New Living Translation version. And I got my highlighter, as you know, key verses as they stand out, I'm going to highlight because as I read through Proverbs next month, I want to be in a place where my mind is saying, wow, that stood out to me last month. It's interesting that this is actually standing out to me this month. So here we go, Proverbs chapter 6. And again, if you have not started, if you're just joining us somehow, some way, go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and join us on the journey. Real simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, it's in order. Okay. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 6 starts with this. My child, if you have put a security up for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger. Now, I want to pause here because what's interesting is a lot of times people say, well, yeah, the Bible's great, but it doesn't actually give real practical wisdom and advice for day-to-day things of life. Well, what this is talking about here is debt, physical money, debt that someone has put up security for someone's debt. In other words, maybe you're in a place where you decided you're going to co-sign for a loan for somebody else's house, or maybe you're going to co-sign for a loan for your child's car or for something else like that, and maybe they're not doing what they need to do. I'll never forget, and I'll share this quickly. There was a gentleman that was years and years ago where we were helping out. For some reason, over the course of years, you know, I've given several cars away. That's just something that God's called me to do. By the way, there's a side note. There's a book that I read called God Runs My Business, and it's a great, great conversation. I've adopted those philosophies and principles in the companies that I've owned over the years. But there was a gentleman that was on drugs. He came off drugs. I got to know him. I was at church. And things like that. And I really wanted to help him out. So I connected with Lowe's. I got him a job. He needed a car. I gave him our car. And I basically said, here, listen, I'm going to give you this car. Now, what I did for me is I said, okay, I'm going to give you the car. I'm not going to co-sign on. I'm going to give you the car. It was paid for. And I want you to pay me back for this car over a period of time, like 10 months, 12 months or whatever. Let's say the car was worth $6,000. I gave it or whatever it was. And I gave it to him for $3,000. Right? And he just had to pay me a monthly payment for 12 months. Well, what was interesting is 1 month he's paying, 2 months he's paying, 3 months he's paying, 4 months he's paying. All of a sudden, he leaves town, takes the car. No more payments. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was the first time I had an experience. I'm saying this because it ties into what's talking about here in Proverbs chapter 6. The experience was I allowed that experience to cause my heart to have some bitterness. Because I was like, you know what? Hey, I'm going out of my way. I'm helping this guy, Lord. Like, what's going on here? And he walks away. I gave it to him. I had to realize more fully that he could just walk away if he wanted to because I can't control him. And so things like that happen. And that's why these tips are helpful in Proverbs chapter 6. So it says, I'm going to start over. It says, my child, if you have put up security for a friend's debt or agreed to guarantee the debt of a stranger If you have trapped yourself by your agreement, in other words, things aren't working out the way you thought they would. You've trapped yourself by your agreement and are caught by what you said, follow my advice and save yourself. For you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride, go and beg to have your name erased. Don't put it off and do it now. Don't rest until you do. Action, take action in life when you've kind of missed some things or some things aren't going your way the way you thought they should go per se. Save yourself like a gazelle escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing a net. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Isn't that interesting? He's calling us lazy bones. How many people in our society today genuinely are lazy? Now, we as a society have just, you know, caused ourselves to be in a place where everything is a problem. Well, I struggle with this, or I struggle with that, or I struggle with this. Like, listen, we all struggle with things. It just depends on what you do with that struggle to work through that struggle. You know what we really struggle with as a society? Laziness. That's the root core, I believe, of a lot of things, because when we sit around and we don't do anything and we don't work and we don't engage our minds and we don't work out and we don't have great conversations, we don't proactively build a plan, we're not achieving or going towards a goal, boy, it messes up a lot of our lives. So the ants, he's using the analogy of ants, literally ants that crawl in the ground. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones, verse 6. Learn from their ways and become wise. They have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work. They don't have anybody overseeing them. They don't have a parent or a spouse encouraging them to get up and go do things, but yet they still do it. Verse 8, they labor hard all summer, gather food for the winter. I love these verses here coming up. I've actually highlighted them. Okay, starting verse 9, it says, but you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What he's saying is, don't be surprised. Let me paraphrase with the Michael Wall version, okay? Don't be surprised if you're poor, if you're lazy. You say, well, nothing comes my way. I don't have any opportunity. I didn't grow up on those side of the tracks. And, you know, listen, that's nonsense. Not in America. Not anymore today. I'm sorry. That excuse doesn't work. Society has done all of these things to try and write all of these stories and create all of these narratives and scripts saying the reason you're not successful is because that person and this person is keeping you down. That's nonsense. Now, you can choose to continue to believe that if you want, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to live a lackluster life, not fulfilling things, and you're going to feel empty inside. But if you actually say, no, I'm going to take accountability for me. I'm going to quit focusing on you, quit focusing on your spouse, quit focusing on your friends, quit focusing on the president, quit focusing on the governors, quit focusing on the people in office. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to get involved. But focus on your own life. Don't cause your own ability to be poor because of your laziness. And you may say, Mike, well, you're just saying that because, you know, you got a couple companies and you've been blessed and you're financially whatever. Okay, let me tell you something. That wasn't always the case. Nobody's given me things in life to help us grow. God's given me wisdom. I have invested into ourselves. When we started out, my wife and I had a purple Ford Escort, 5-speed, okay? Our apartment was $400 a month. That included cable. The guy downstairs smoked like crazy. Smoke coming up through the heat vents, right? But I was happy to have it. And at the end of the day, my wife worked at the Outback Steakhouse as a waitress, and those tips are what we used to start the first company that we have. So don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me it can't be done. It takes hard work and it takes effort. And if you believe it's anything else or you're repressed for whatever reason, you are going to spend your mindset getting bitter about that and you'll miss out on the gold that's inside of you that I talked about before with Dale Carnegie, and you'll fall into the trap of what Proverbs is saying here, verse 10, a little extra sleep, a little extra slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to wake up every morning at 4 a.m., okay? Everybody's different there, by the way. Everybody's clock's different. My wife, she loves to get up early. Me? I don't love to get up early. I don't operate my best if I wake up at 5 in the morning. Now, I get up earlier now than I used to. Kids will do that to you when you take them to school. But I'm just saying, be disciplined with your time. Get focused with your time. I love what John Maxwell says. He said, you know, you don't need to be 100% all the time, but you need to know when to be 100%. That's important. All right, verse 12. What are the worthless and wicked people like? They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, or the wiggle of a finger. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. Boy, we see that in our society today, don't we? Where people, their desire is to constantly just stir up trouble. By the way, I highlighted that because I want to be mindful of making sure in my own life that I avoid people like that. I avoid conversations like that. But they will be destroyed, verse 15, suddenly, broken in an instant beyond all hope of healing. So there are six things the Lord hates. Seven things he detests: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil. You know, what we feel in our heart, believe in our heart, what we do in our life is birthed out of that. Feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies. Hey, just because you are thinking something in your mind about someone else doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's true. Because sometimes we can get ourselves in a place where we can start to go down the path of thinking and believing certain things because we're in our own head. But that doesn't make it true. And what the Bible's saying here is a false witness who pours out lies. That's someone who the Lord detests or hates. Think about that. We don't want to be on the side of God where he hates you because, and by the way, he's probably not going to give you his blessings. I can tell you that, okay? Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. You know what Discord is? That's not the new app that kids are using to kind of talk on, even though that is Discord. Discord is the idea of dissension, separation. It's something where you're these little seeds that just create chaos, all right? Creates chaos. Don't do that. Verse 20, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Now, again, this all goes to the reality of hopefully you've had good parents that are honoring the Lord and trying to do the right thing. If you haven't, which many of you out there haven't, then we have to kind of lean in and seek God's word. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. 22, when you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. Boy, it's so important to be open to corrective discipline. It's something that we struggle with in life. It's as people, we struggle with correction. And by the way, this is the same thing that the enemy Satan struggled with. He wanted to be God. He wanted to call the shots. He did not want anyone else telling him what to do. Therefore, God kicked him out of heaven, right? And that's exactly the path that we can go down when we are in a place where we are caught up in our own image or getting the bad advice at the same time. By the way, that's a great side note test. You say, well, I have counsel. I have people in my life that are helping me. I have people in my life that are guiding me. And so let me ask you, how's your life doing? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have peace? Do you have grace? Do you have a mindset of forgiveness? Can you move on quickly if people harm you? Can you move past those things? Are you excited about the future? I got to tell you, if you're in a place where you can't say yes to those things, probably the people in your life are not giving you the counsel that you need for you to grow. Now, if you want to live a miserable life the rest of your life and you're okay with that, pointing the finger at everyone else, feeling like you're okay and everyone else is wrong and you're miserable, then just keep doing what you're doing. You know, the old definition of insanity, right? Keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's not going to happen. You have to change your life. You got to change your friends. You got to change your influence. When you do that, you'll change your life. Verse 24, it says, it will keep you. So looking for corrective and being open to corrective discipline. Verse 24 says, it will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Don't lust for her beauty. Don't let her coy glances seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, but sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So it is with the man who sleeps with another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he's starving. But if he is caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole. Even if he has to sell everything in his house. What he's telling us here is stay on the right path, do the right thing. That's what he's saying here. But the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will never be erased, for the woman's jealous husband will be furious, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation, nor be satisfied with a payoff of any size. Boy, there's a lot of verses here talking about immoral women, and we could say again that as men, because this is obviously something that we can struggle with as a society. And you're in a place where you may not necessarily be going out yourself and participating in these acts. But remember, Jesus said in the New Testament, he says the law says that we are to not commit adultery. Jesus says in the New Testament, you know, the Bible's two parts, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. There's 66 books. You got the Old Testament and then you got the New Testament. Jesus says in the New Testament, that the law says don't commit adultery, but I say to you that if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery with her. This is so important. So we have to say what's going on with our eye gate. Where are we at? Are we committed to protecting ourselves along the journey? All right, so it's so important. Hey, listen, that's Proverbs chapter 6. Hope that blessed you today. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, Proverbs chapter 7. Have a good one.